They get it into Coleman. He'll bring it up the floor. The southpaw takes it across midcourt. Coleman dribbling between his legs. They kick to Febres for the win. He missed, and KU will hang on. You can rock. Chalk it up. The Jayhawks survive 80-78.
Wow, did they ever. Jayhawks survive and win 80-78 last night over Texas. Texas, as you heard, a three-point shot, a chance to win it at the buzzer. They weren't able to get it done, and Kansas survives a big scare from the Longhorns. Their 10th consecutive victory over Texas. Bill Self on the UT win.
Marcus played unreal, and we're down two at halftime with no turnovers, and Marcus Garrett has 17, is 7-7 from the field. I mean, that's not a good sign. And of course, we didn't get much out of Diedrich the first half due to fouls, but I thought we actually settled in and did some good things. Second half, their length is obviously ridiculous, and we won't play against a quicker team, this year without question. So we did some good things.
Marcus Garrett with 20 points last night. The story here says he's 3-for-3 from three. He wasn't, because I saw him miss a three there late in the ball game. But he had a career high 20. He's been really good defensively. Hit three threes, which is insane because he doesn't have a good shot from the perimeter. Hit a one out of two free throws there at the end. And then Kansas dodges the bullet at the buzzer, and the Jayhawks are now 4-1 in the Big 12, 15-2 overall. And another example of why KU wins the Big 12 every year. They find ways to win games, whether it be on the road or at home, even when they don't have their best stuff. Diedrich Lawson in foul trouble last night. And once again, Ochai was on the floor in the final minutes. Coach Self trusts him more than Quentin Grimes. And I'm continuing to follow that, because I think it's interesting that Quentin Grimes, who is supposed to be maybe a one-and-done player, who had a great debut against Michigan State, just still hasn't figured it out offensively. And you can see that Self is actually more trustworthy of Ochai, and he must believe, too, that Ochai is a better athlete than Quentin Grimes, because he said Ochai Agbaji is the most athletic player on the team, which is obviously saying he's more athletic than Grimes and anybody else on the roster. But Kansas dodges a huge bullet, and they win last night by a final of 80-78. And there were some other Big 12 games last night as well, which we'll get to here in a moment as I pull it up here. It's not cooperating with me right now. It's supposed to show me the results on this tab. There we go. Baylor edges Oklahoma State last night. 73-69 was that final. And looking ahead to basketball tonight, West Virginia is at TCU. And then tomorrow night, K-State will be at Oklahoma, and we'll preview that Oklahoma matchup with Riley Gates of GoPowerCat.com coming up here at the bottom of the hour, as K-State has pulled two games out of the fire over West Virginia and Iowa State to get back to the 500 mark in the Big 12 at 2-2. High school basketball yesterday, and we're going to have a lot of it this week, and Mother Nature is wreaking havoc on all of us and for the schools themselves and for tournament directors and officials and commissioners and everybody. And Mother Nature hasn't even done anything yet. It's the threat of Mother Nature that's causing all kinds of shifts in schedules. So let's go ahead and give you the scores from yesterday. I'll just hand it off to Dusty for the NPL tournament. Since he was there, he can run through the finals from yesterday, and then we'll look at the Sterling Invitational and then look at our today's schedule.
Okay, we'll start girls' side of things. Yesterday, the Lincoln girls winning over Tescott, 38-31 in the play-in game there yesterday. Also, Chase winning early game at the grade school there, 43-40 in overtime over Pike Valley. Lakeside winning over Wilson, 45-31 in the play-in game on the girls' side. And then Osborne over Rock Hills, 56-18. And then on the boys' side of things, it was Thunder Ridge winning 63-36 over Pike Valley. Lakeside winning 51-15 against Tescott. Wilson beats Lincoln 53-35. Southern Cloud a 63-24 win over Natoma. And Rock Hills winning 62-23 over Chase. Those are the boys' scores from Monday night's play-in games. Again, all those scores are online at ncksports.com.
All right, so the invitation yesterday, the Beloit boys survive a bit of a scare. Number one seed, and it's still it's you're in a tournament. There's only one other league team in the tournament, and you have to play them the first round of the tournament. So they're familiar with one another, is my point. And Beloit won by 30 the first time. Southeast has gotten better. They had won their last two games, and Southeast is up five in the first quarter. Beloit had a little bit of foul trouble to deal with. Vincent Paul in foul trouble. Beloit would come back, take a two-point lead at halftime, had a good third quarter, and had the scratch and claw to win, lacked some energy to start the game, and got it done 55-47. That's what you want to do in tournaments, survive in advance. It doesn't have to be pretty in any tournament. So the Beloit boys will move on. Vincent Paul with 14 points. 11 points for Hudson Smith. He was our NCKSports.com athlete of the game. 10 points for Hayden Butke, including a couple threes off the bench. Carson Koss with 9 points and a big three there in the fourth quarter as Beloit survives and wins 55-47. They're now 9-1. They'll move on to the semifinals, which it's supposed to be on Thursday. And I say supposed to be because there is some talk that perhaps the Sterling tournament will be moved up, which will cause all kinds of problems for us coming up tomorrow, because the NPL tournament has been moved up a day as well because there is not a good forecast, possible ice and more coming up and snow on Friday. So everybody's trying to be proactive, and I understand it, and I get it. It just means that we're going to really have to – we need all team members on deck for what we're trying to do this week to get everything covered. And so Dusty's the NPL tournament. I'm the Sterling tournament. I'm supposed to do a K-State women's game tomorrow night for them, and I've already committed to doing that, so yeah. I'm not gonna tell them, hey, you know, 24 hours before, I can't do it. That would not look good. Yeah. And that was the night I had free, so I thought I could do it, and I was like, Mother Nature, just cooperate, we'll be fine. And as of late last week, there was nothing saying we were going to have a horrible ice storm coming in on Friday.
Exactly.
So that's why that 7-day forecast to look at, what do you know, totally unreliable as always. I don't know why they waste time with it. It's just a joke.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
The 7, the 10, the 14, I mean, what a joke. We need basically a 3-day forecast, and even then it's 50-50 wrong or right. So anyway, what I'm trying to say is the Beloit boys will play Smoky Valley Thursday night, but that could be moved up to tomorrow possibly. Smoky Valley beat Lions 31-29 in a low-scoring affair, and the bracket information for the Sterling Invitational, the NPL Tournament, and Mid-Continent League Tournament, and all other tournaments in the North Central Kansas are available to you. Go to ncksports.com so we don't waste all the time going over every single matchup. Now, we will tell you our broadcast schedule for today. Beloit girls in action, the 3-seed against the 6-seed Hugoton, 4:15 pregame today from Sterling High School on Z96.3 Lake, kittycountry94.com. Get the KZDY. Z96.3, the Lake free app on your smartphone so you can listen outside the area. So I have one game today. Dusty is doing many more than one. He has four today, and here's Dusty's schedule on Katy Country 94.
Yeah, so we'll get things started with the quarterfinals on the girls' side, high school, 2:45 pregame tip-off at 3, St. John's Tipton against Chase. And then the next game after that will be the boys' quarterfinals between Osborne and Thunder Ridge. Then we'll move into the girls' quarters between Sylvan Lucas and Lakeside. And then our last game will be St. John's Tipton against Rock Hills. They're at the grade school at approximately 7:30. So we'll go 3, 4:30, 6, and 7:30. 3 o'clock is a firm start time with 2:45 pregame to start the day. And then the rest of them are approximate times. That last game, we're hoping times work out so we can join St. John's Tipton and Rock Hills and have the entire game on for you. The way I'm looking at the bracket and the way the games could possibly go, I think we should be all right. So hopefully that stays true and we don't have any hiccups here tonight. But if we do, then we'll join St. John's Tipton and Rock Hills in progress there at the grade school.
All right, that sounds good. Now, the NPL tournament's moving everything up a day, so that means the semifinals will be tomorrow.
Yes.
Beginning at...
at noon.
Noon.
Yes.
Which means we'll have pregame coverage at 11:45.
Yes.
Tomorrow. And then Thursday would be all the rest of the games, which we usually cover the third place games and the championship games, which would be on Thursday. Which are those times going to be?
Those are the same as of now.
Same times.
Yeah.
Nothing changed there.
They're the same right now.
So. Okay. All right. And as of now, the Sterling Invitational have the girls tonight. We have the boys and girls on Thursday, and then boys and girls on Friday. But if it gets moved to tomorrow, where they play the boys and the girls, and of course Sterling in their infinite wisdom with the overlapping of times for the same school and their team, so you can't watch both, means that we probably won't be able to cover both Beloit games tomorrow on the radio because we don't have enough staff, because we need two people to go to Sterling. If I'm in Manhattan and you're in Lincoln and Chad's in Sterling, but two games at one time, obviously we don't have four.
Yeah.
So we're a little bit short. So we'll do the best as we always do, trying to cover all the teams the best we can with all these tournaments. And, oh, by the way, the Beloit Wrestling Invitational is Friday and Saturday, which who knows if that's going to happen.
Exactly.
Because I already know that there are teams and schools calling Beloit saying, hey, what do we got? What's our situation? You're going to move that tournament up? Well, I don't think they're going to move it up. The Bullet Wrestling Invitational to a Thursday, Friday. And even if you do, the weather's supposed to go bad Friday.
Yeah.
So then you get all these teams and athletes and parents and family and coaches, and then they're stuck in Beloit on Friday. And I'm going to tell you, Beloit, the city of Beloit, and I know it be, you know, they've worked on it, but there is not enough lodging in Beloit.
No.
Not enough hotel space.
Now for people to get stuck.
To take on a whole bunch of athletes.
250 wrestlers is what I just heard from
250
Andy.
Wrestlers?
Yeah.
250 wrestlers plus their families
exactly.
And coaches.
Yeah.
We don't have enough lodging. And if it's really bad and it's icy, people can't go to Concordia or Lincoln or wherever it might be, drive to Salina to get a hotel room because it could be a really treacherous situation. And
yeah.
So I think some schools are going to have to make a decision here very soon, next probably 24 to 48 hours, as to we might not be able to come to the Bullet Wrestling Invitational, even though we really want to. And I don't blame them because you've got to put safety first. And I've talked with people from Beloit. They're in the same situation with the Sterling Invitational. It sounds like this weather is going to be worse for Beloit. Beloit's a good hour north of every other team in the Sterling Invitational.
Oh.
So the worst weather, it looks like, is going to be north of I-70 up in our area. So the seven other schools may be just fine to get there and play their games on Friday. And will they go ahead and move the tournament because there's one school that's going to deal with some really bad weather possibly? It would be great if they do. I don't know if Sterling will. But if they don't, then Beloit might not be able to travel back down on Friday and can't play in championship games, which, once again, safety comes first. And I'm going to tell you right now, there is no administrator out there that wants to put their kids in harm's way on a bus to go to an athletic event or a scholars bowl or any academic, anything, period.
Yeah.
Religious, I don't matter. Because ice is a very dangerous thing. And that's what they're forecasting for Friday. Although how much and when exactly it comes in, you can look at 15 weather forecasts and you'll get 15 different answers. So
exactly.
I don't know. And who knows? Maybe Friday nothing's going to happen. It's going to slide north and we're going to miss all of it in our area. I don't know. But it's no question on the forefront of the minds of administrators and all these schools involved in all these tournaments, the NBL tournament, Mid-Continent League tournament, Sterling Invitational, the Bullet Wrestling Invitational, and Mother Nature carving some havoc. So once again, I'll repeat, the NPL tournament's been moved up a day, so we'll have games tomorrow, and then Thursday it should be wrapped up, and they won't play on Friday. The Sterling Invitational could be moved up a day, but that has not been decided yet. It is an option. It is on the table, I can tell you, from a very reliable source. But that has not been decided. So as of now, the Bullet girls and boys will play on Thursday and then again on Friday, and the girls play tonight at Sterling. Anything else you need to cover on the local perspective?
I think we're good. Like I said, we directed everybody to the website for the brackets at ncksports.com, so I think we've got it covered.
All right, sounds good. So bear with us. We'll cover it the best that we can. Okay, we mentioned KU, the win over Texas last night, survived that. And they win 80-78. They're now 4-1 in the Big 12. K-State 2-2. A big game on the road at Oklahoma coming up tonight. This is something else. James Harden. I'm watching James Harden last night. He scored 57 points. He hit 9 three-pointers. And I watch his step-back move, and it's a travel. It's a travel.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a blatant travel. And the reason he scores so many points is because of a move that's completely illegal. Now, there every once in a while, he might time it just about right or But you replay it. You can watch it in real motion. Last night he shot a three where he caught the ball and he took a hop and moved both feet and didn't dribble. How is that not a travel? Apparently, James Harden, the rules are a little different for him, although there are other players that get away with that type of move as well. And the NBA is a joke when you don't enforce the rules. But at the same time, they love offense, so they love James Harden. Harden also gets away with a nice push-off every other time when he shoots that step back.
Yeah.
The guy's crowding him. He extends his arm and gets a little separation. Now, I'm not saying he's a bad player. I'm not saying he's cheating. He's doing what the rules allow, or shall I say the rules don't allow, but the officials won't enforce. So he's fun to watch, no question. And he's not a great defense player, but he is a fantastic offensive player. And he's also good at dishing the ball. But the ball's always in his hands. He averages 550 dribbles a game. It's just him dribbling,
yeah.
And then he makes a play, or he shoots it. Nobody else dribbles the ball for that team unless Chris Paul, who's not healthy right now. It's interesting to watch James Harden. I enjoy him scoring points. I enjoy how he passes the ball. I enjoy how he plays the pick and roll. But in a way, it's kind of boring to watch the Rockets because he's the only one that handles the ball until he passes it, and it's usually late in the shot clock.
Yeah, exactly. It's, yeah. I Of course, to be fair, like you said, he's not the only
one
that gets away with some of that
Curry
stuff.
Curry and Durant get away with travels. LeBron does.
Yeah, and it's just the NBA the way it is right now. And
they love points.
We just deal with it, I guess.
Everybody likes offense. Do you know the top four scoring offenses in the NFL are the ones that are still standing in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Everybody says defense wins championships. Well, maybe it doesn't anymore.
There's a trend that's changing, obviously, on a lot of levels.
It is.
In a lot of different sports with the whole defense wins championship aspect.
Speaking of offense, last night number one Duke, lost at home at Cameron against Syracuse 95-91 in overtime. But this is crazy. Syracuse just lost to the worst team in ACC, Georgia Tech. Now they went to Duke and won by four in overtime. But Duke was without their point guard, who had a really nasty shoulder injury. Another top recruit, Cam Reddish, who hit the game winner against Florida State. He was out with illness, and Duke still almost won. That's how good they are.
Yeah.
So Duke and Kansas had never lost to unranked teams at home on the same day. It's never happened. And Kansas, if Texas
almost
makes that three-pointer last night at the end, it would have happened.
That kid would have made that shot in Manhattan. I saw him do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of times.
Isn't that crazy? All right, would you like to go to the AFC Championship game Sunday at Arrowhead? I'm going to tell you right now, I love to go, but I'm not going. And I'm not going. One, would I want to spend the money? If the weather's nice, I might spend the money and go. We're talking 10 degrees maybe at kickoff to well below zero once the sun goes down. The game is the late game, of course.
Yeah.
5:40 in Kansas City against the Patriots. It would be the coldest game on record ever played at Arrowhead for the biggest game ever played on record at Arrowhead. This is one of those games where I really wish now the Chiefs did play the Chargers.
Yeah.
Because the Patriots have
dealt with cold weather. Exactly.
Yeah. Like my son said, he's like, man, who wants to play in it? I go, who wants to sit in the stands?
Oh,
apparently 80,000 people do. But that's insane, paying $200 to $300 a ticket to go sit out in 10-degree temperature, which it's going to drop once the sun goes down quickly after the kickoff. And then you're going to have, of course, there's going to be wind. If you're sitting up the higher part, oh, my goodness. Somebody said, what loyal fans? I'm like, I don't know if that's loyal or crazy or stupid. But it's your money, and if you want to freeze your butt off, you can. All I know is Derek Nestor, our webmaster, he works for the Chiefs Radio Network, he sent a text to you and me saying, Arctic blast hitting Kansas City, 10 degrees at kickoff. And I said, well, I don't care, because I'm going to be in 72-degree balmy in my basement. Although, if we get a whole bunch of ice and the power goes out, I may be in a 40-degree house or worse. So, but that still beats 10 degrees outside at Arrowhead. So if you want to go to the Chiefs game at Arrowhead, you know what? You're a better fan than I am, or you're crazier than I am, or you're a lunatic. I don't know which, but, you know, power to you. God bless you. I hope you don't freeze to death.
Yeah. I think everybody I would assess as crazier than me if they're at that game, because one, of the ticket price, like you said, and then two, the weather.
That's one thing, it's free tickets, and I still wouldn't go. Listen, I'm too old for that. I'm 40. I just turned 43. I hate the cold. And I've been told by people, you can't say, don't say the word hate. No. I will say it. I hate the cold. I'll take 110 over cold weather any day of the week. I will. I'll sweat my you-know-what off, and I will rehydrate, but I cannot stand the cold. Ice is good for nobody, by the way, so whoever likes ice is crazy as well. But I don't like cold, period. But then you add in ice or you add in wind, no, it's not for me. Sorry, I'm getting old enough to where my bones creak just thinking about the cold, let alone when I'm out in the cold. And I can put, and I've done this before, 3 pairs of insulated socks, long johns, insulated pants. I put 3-4 pair of insulated socks on before. I put snow boots on. I put 3 or 4 sweatshirts on. I put a winter coat around that. I've got gloves. I got a stocking cap. And I still freeze.
Yeah.
My feet, somehow my toes get cold.
Like, I'll put 4 layers of socks on and my toes
are still
freezing.
I'm still cold. It doesn't matter for me. I mean, I went to a Chiefs-Denver game probably about 8-9 years ago, and it was about 20 degrees. And I was on the shaded side, lucky me, where I was sitting. And then eventually the sun came out. We went to the merchandise stand, and people had their socks and shoes off trying to de-thaw at the the merchandise place there at the retail shop in the stadium. And I said after that game, when I saw somebody's beer fall over and it instantly froze, I was like, I'm done. And I said, I will never, ever, ever pay money to go to any game cold like that. This is going to be much worse at Arrowhead Sunday night, and I know it's a big game. I'm getting to the point where I don't want to do a high school ball game outside when it's 25, 30 degrees, or maybe 40. I'm not one that likes the cold. But people that want to spend money to freeze even though I know it's a great big game, listen, I'll support the team and scream and holler, save myself all the money, and be nice and toasty inside and can run to my fridge and get whatever I want to drink and eat. Am I not a real fan? I could say maybe I'm just a realist. So anyway. Chiefs and Patriots, by the way, we're going to have Westwood One's coverage of that beginning at 4 o'clock on Sunday on Z96.3 Lake because we're not allowed to carry the Chiefs radio network per the NFL rules.